Hi, and welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
The boys are back.
Hey, all three of us in the studio at the same time.
Oh, man, this is nice.
I enjoyed, so we're actually recording this on the day that Mason's podcast came out.
Mm-hmm. He did a good job.
I enjoyed it because he wouldn't give me any idea because I asked him, I said, how'd it go? He's like, oh, it went good. What did y'all talk about? You'll have to wait and listen. Dang it, boy.
Slap you right now.
They call that building the hype.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Except for this first part, y'all, what's up with that? Y'all making fun of me.
You brought it on yourself.
I have no idea how he remembers that, because that was such a short time period that I
Please,
was in
just jiu-jitsu. Tell us, like, how'd you decide?
Well, I wanted to...
Why?
Well, and we got to... If you're just now listening to this one...
Yeah.
You need to
what
go
was
back
brought
and
up?
To, well, you need to go back and listen to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Tommy, at some time in the past... decided to pick up jiu-jitsu.
Well, the whole thing is and I've admitted it, you guys mm-hmm. rightly said that mm-hmm. if I get into something, like, I don't go halfway.
No,
I
mean, you're all in.
Go all in. I mean, I think that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it the right thing to do? Looking back.
I agree. Yeah.
So
what'd you buy?
Well, so, no, I wanted to get, you know, I was thinking, like, man, what is a creative way that I can exercise and enjoy exercise? Because, like, running on a treadmill ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Running, period, ain't for me. You know, lifting weights gets really boring really quickly. So, I don't want to get into, like, the karate where you have to, like, bow to walk in. And
wax on, wax off.
And you have to do all these rituals. Like, I just didn't want any of that. So I had some friends that did jiu-jitsu, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so it was like grappling. And and you don't have, you know, you don't have all those ridiculous rituals. Sorry if I'm offending anyone who's big into karate.
You're really throwing some shade to get the spotlight off of you.
Taekwondo.
Yeah. All you ritualistic karate people.
But it was just too much for me. So I want to get into jiu-jitsu. So I said, I'm going to try jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So in order to try it, you had to have a gi. A gi is
so
apparently...
it's like the uniform, like the karate uniform.
The stiffest robe known to man.
Well, So I was like, well, I got to get a gi, right? Because that's what you wear when you do martial arts. And so I start like, well, okay, what kind of gi do I want? I'm like looking, like, I don't want a regular white one. Like, everybody has these. Stupid. They make some blue ones that look pretty cool. I end up getting a black one.
Yeah, you did.
We got to let that white beginner belt show.
Oh, yeah. And I did. So you guys mentioned that. It was a white belt for sure. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
One's going to let you walk into their studio with anything else if you're not what you say.
Wouldn't
you
that know, be hilarious?
You
so, like, if you walk in, like,
people do.
Yeah, not that you're that guy, but like, imagine being that, like, seeing that
there
guy
are.
That comes in that's like putting on the purple belt.
Yeah.
And they get on the mat
and
they just
get
destroyed.
By some, yeah.
Can see
that's hilarious.
Oh, you're a black belt. No, black gi. White belt, black gi.
Yeah.
But it had like, it was a very well-known brand of gi.
Of course.
Well, I didn't want to buy anything cheap. I wanted to buy something that was going to be comfortable. And so I get it. I'm like, I didn't realize how heavy duty this thing was. Like, I thought it would be light and airy. No. It was heavy and stiff.
Do you think when the first guy put it on, he was like, gee? And you're like, no, it's gee. Do you think that's how it went?
What are you talking about?
How the name came out? Yeah, like, I Googled it.
Yeah, I have
Japanese
no idea.
Word meaning clothes or suit. Yeah.
There you go, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no.
So,
gee, this is heavy.
Google also says it's essentially the traditional Japanese kimono adapted...
Yeah.
For grappling. So you wore a kimono.
Yeah. I mean, I had the pants and the jacket and the belt. I didn't know how to tie the belt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a way you tie the belt. Like, I didn't know. So anyway, I tried it on. It was so stiff and heavy. And like, I'm like, well, this is not. Like, this I don't like exercise. This. This makes it even harder. I mean, because it's like heavy.
I'm sweating.
But apparently you're supposed to wash it like 100 times and then it gets, you know, but I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, so I sold it. I wore it once.
Yeah.
So I went to, I got some, like, you get like a week free or whatever. They had a special going on and you get to grab, and they kind of take you through a beginner's entry into it. And I showed up on, apparently there's a no-gi day. So you have gi and no-gi. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I show up on.
What do you wear on no-gi day?
You wear like tight form fitting, you know, wicking type.
So you could have worn your unitard.
I could have. Yeah. I still have that, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling that.
No, don't. Yeah.
Who would want that?
Yeah. I wear that a lot for other reasons. I mean, for like underneath my hunting clothes and stuff, man.
Yeah.
It keeps me warm.
Yeah.
But so I found out that they had no gi. So you can wear like shorts and knee pads and stuff and do it that way. Well, there's techniques. If they're wearing a gi, you can choke them out with their own with clothes, and you know. And if you have no gi and it's real tight fitting, form fitting, because you're allowed to use any of those things. Mm-hmm. So, but those are different techniques, and there's different ways you can, you know, you can do things depending on you wearing gi or no gi.
So you
I showed up on the no gi day with the gi. So I'm like, well, okay. Well, they were like, oh, today's no gi day. You know,
Geed out of here.
Yeah. Can you hit something on that?
I can't. I'm laughing too.
No.
So how long did, how many lessons did you do?
I think like I did like 3 or 4. Dude, I'm going to tell you, every single time I almost threw up or like dry heaving. It was brutal.
Did you ever get to wear the gi?
No.
All week was no gi?
I went to no gi classes. After that first day of no gi, I was like, I don't even like wearing this bathrobe with bathrobe pants.
Yeah. Just feels too constricting. Yeah.
It's just too heavy, hot.
Got
to
be free.
And it just looks stupid to me. To me.
Yeah.
So I sold it on Marketplace or something.
I think it'd be cool to do. I just love the story, you know.
But after like 3 or 4 times going, then it was like my free stuff was up, and it was like it was not cheap. I mean, because you're getting some instruction from like world class people. Like these dudes have like the cauliflower ears; they're like legit. Like that's what they do for a living. Some of them have trained under the most famous people, and they have won a lot of prestigious tournaments. They know what they're doing, no doubt about it, and they're worth every penny it costs. But you know.
And they were probably like, oh, another 40-year-old student starting out. This is going to be great.
Flake out. Well, I mean, look, they're not like that. I mean, because they truly, they truly transform people. And the people that stick to it, they transform them. And I can see why, because it is brutally intense.
Yeah. It's a workout, man, I'm sure.
100% workout. And,
well, you definitely made it sound way cooler than what Mason said.
Yeah. Well, you think of his point of view, though.
Yeah. He just sees this coming to mail, me trying
like
on,
a ninja.
Trying it on at home.
You see Tommy wearing it at home as a ninja, sneaking around.
And, making noises in the back.
Oh, I was in the mirror definitely doing the crane kick, you know, the iconic, you know. So, man, awesome. I was really surprised he remembered that story, though. Just,
well, I mean, it's hard to forget.
It definitely made a lasting impression on him.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny because when we talk about, you know, making decisions and wishing we'd made kind of a different decision, we've conveniently brought up this devotional we've been looking at, and it's Alistair Begg's Truth for Life, and the one that we're going to touch on tonight is the second reaction. So, you could have used that before buying the gi and taking the classes.
I mean, we'll see.
No, I mean, hey.
I mean, we've come a long way.
I'm afraid of you. Yeah, I'm afraid. No, but we want to talk about it because like in this devotional really touches on something we've been talking about in the guys group and going through some different books and some different stories and life application stuff. And so I'm just going to read this a little slow.
I haven't
slow.
Heard this one yet. Have you heard this one, Jeff?
No.
Oh, man, it's so good.
So this is new to me. And we have this book, but I don't know if I'm not on that day or I've
Yeah, it was in the past. Okay. Yeah. So
I might have done it then.
You're not caught up.
No, I might have done it then.
I'm kidding. No, it's really good. I'm going to read it slow, and then we're going to just touch on it. So here we go.
Let's do it.
It says, how do you react when something displeases you? It is understandable that when the people of Israel asked for a king, the prophet Samuel was displeased. After all, there was a personal slight in the request. Samuel had judged the people well, demonstrating leadership at its finest. He had preached repentance, and the people had repented. He had prayed for them, and the Philistine forces had been vanquished without any weapons being lifted in defense or to attack. Finally, a stone of remembrance had been put up to signify God's goodness to Israel for time immemorial. Samuel had done his best, and his best had been good. But the years had passed since those victories. This is the good stuff. Samuel had grown old, and the leaders of Israel had decided it was time for a change. They were ready to push Samuel out and move on. Samuel's immediate and understandable reaction was to be unhappy and angry, but he didn't dwell there. Instead, his second reaction was to pray. Samuel's disapproval led him to talk to God about all that was happening and to seek his counsel and his intervention. We see a similar first and second reaction in the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard the news that had come out of Jerusalem concerning the destruction and the chaos that was taking place there, he sat down and wept. But then for many days he prayed to God and fasted in Nehemiah 1:1-4. His first reaction was to weep. His second reaction was to pray. The actions of Samuel and Nehemiah set us a challenging example. When something displeases you and your first reaction to a situation is anger, sorrow, or disappointment, what's your second reaction? Perhaps you tend to tell everybody how let down you have been, or you brood in self-pity or lash out. But here's the challenge. While it is understandable to weep or to feel displeased, we are not to stay like that, and we are to make sure that our second reaction is to pray. Like Samuel, when something has caused you displeasure, let your second reaction be to talk to God about all that is happening, seeking his perspective and his help in the situations before you. So when I read that, I just thought, man, I get what he's saying. Second reaction, right? Ideally, we'd get to a place where, man, hopefully our first reaction is to bring things before the Lord. But what I love that that speaks about is that, you know, realizing that we're human. And so we're going to have emotions, we're going to have feelings. And so when things aren't going our way, or things feel out of control, or we get upset or angry, those are going to be natural responses. But even looking back to the Old Testament and some awesome guys and going, man, but what did they do after that? Kind of recognizing it. And that's to pray before the Lord, which I think a lot of times, especially guys, we struggle with that kind of surrender, that humble surrender.
As parents, too, I think we experience that second reaction. First reaction may not, if your kid does something.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, your first reaction is to jump all over them. And then, as we mature and as a parent, and as we're maturing, certainly in our spiritual life, and as a parent, we're recognizing and start seeing some of our own behaviors in our kids, and as a reflection, you're like, ooh, I don't like that reflection. Let me rethink this. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have reacted that way. That second reaction, kind of brought to my mind that. And that's not a bad thing. Like, that's a good thing for our kids to hear that from us and understand, hey, we can make mistakes too. And, we can ask for their forgiveness. But as that parent, hey, I really want that first reaction to be that of one of proper response.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about it a lot in our home. My wife's initial reaction, I always call her a pessimist. She says she's a realist, but she finds all the things that could possibly go wrong with whatever I just suggested that we do. And usually if I don't react, right, I'll say okay and just let it kind of sit for a minute, and then she'll think about it, and then she'll come back and be like, hey, what if, or sorry, I didn't mean to go straight to that. How can we, these are my concerns, this is what you want to do, how can we make it happen? And so just learning sometimes not to respond in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to teach my kids, especially as they relate to each other, because, wow. I just had this conversation with my daughter. It's like, Remember James 1 that we memorized. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Practice that. You memorized it. You think it's fantastic. Now put it into practice, especially with your brother, right? When tone's involved and all the things and just escalates and moves to a place that's unhealthy, you know? So just learning to, hey, listen, if you feel in yourself that you can't respond right, step away for a minute.
I think that's where having kids is also humbling, you know, because Aaron and I have talked about it before. We're like, how many times I've sat there, like if we're getting ready to go out, or especially like Sunday morning when everybody's trying to get ready and out the door, and it's like, put on your shoes. And then you look over and your kids are still like shooting a rubber basketball at the wall. And you're like, oh my word, like you don't even have your socks or your shoes on. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, if you just listen and obey, like it would just be fine. Yeah. And then I feel like the Lord's looking at me and he's like, Justin, if you just listen and obey, everything would be fine. I'm like, not me, I'm talking to him, you know?
Right, right.
Like, I don't know, but it just kind of causes this question, because especially in group tonight, like we were talking about, you know, the question that you asked, Jeff, was, you know, really thinking about the things that we're struggling with the truly trusting God in everything.
Yeah, it's easy to say when you're not having to flesh that out and truly believe it. You know, the comment that I brought up was a buddy of mine found cancer and on his back. And so I had to go and, you know, it's just super uncertain. That type of cancer is very aggressive. What does that mean? All the questions. And he said, you know, been a believer my whole life, been in ministry my whole life. I know these things to be true, but to live it out when your heart is beating out of your chest and your mind won't go off and what ifs come into play. So learning to slow down and settle in that and just trust the Lord. He's like, it's harder to do than it is to say when everything's perfectly fine. And so he got word back finally. And after the procedure was done and everything, that everything's clear and good. And I made the response that God is good, you know, and that's kind of what I brought up in group tonight. Well, that's conditional, you know. If it came back that it had spread, God is still good. That doesn't change who God is based off of those situations. And so a lot of times we do base our belief and how we trust the Lord based on whether or not things are going good or they're not.
So let me ask you this. If the guy came back and said to you, so that was your response to him, God's good?
Like, I texted him.
Yeah. But I'm saying,
So I texted it, and as soon as I texted it, I was like,
oh, okay.
He caught himself.
I got you now. Yeah. Because I was going to ask this, you know, if he said, hey, I got the results back and it spread, you wouldn't, I mean,
God is good.
Yeah, you're not like, amen, brother. Yeah.
Well, those are two different things. Let's make sure. Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, ghee, no ghee.
Yes.
Got it.
But I was specifically on the God is good part, but that hits on the point, though, is God is still good.
Right.
But in that circumstance, we don't want to admit that, or we don't think about that even. And maybe it's not a want. It's just like we've been so conditioned as we are as humans, and how little, even as complex as our minds are, how little they pale in comparison, obviously, to God and his thoughts, right? We all know that we can't even begin to comprehend anything.
Right.
But we initially, everything is tied conditionally.
Yeah.
It's a condition of, you know, the circumstance. And I do believe it's easier said than done.
100%.
And that's why, and I think I've told you guys this before, we've shared a little bit about talking about even like through Job and stuff, like how much anxiety that brings me to read that, because I'm placing myself in his shoes. Pretty much for like a lot of news stories, when you read, you know, you read stuff bad happens, you start placing yourself in that and you start feeling sad. Like I find myself like, oh Lord, please don't test me like that. Please don't.
Well, and that's the thing too. When you look at Job's description, he's titled blameless, right? That's how the Lord described him. And then to see his response when all was taken away from him, naked I came into the earth, naked I leave, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, like, to have that response in that moment meant that he was walking with the Lord in such a way that his eyes were fixed on who God was, regardless of what happens around him. And that's what I was mentioning to the guys tonight. Like, we have a tendency, you know, it can get muddy, right? Because if we're walking with the Lord in such a way that we're walking daily, dying to self, God, search my heart, don't let anything be there, and you're just living in that pursuit, looking for opportunities to share and all those things, and bad things happen, I feel like the response is easier to trust in the Lord in that.
Yeah.
Whereas you make some sinful choices, you're lazy, you're not in the Word, bad things happen, and then you panic, and then, was that me? Is that consequences of my sin? And so that's where there's all different kinds of reactions to that. And then you try to fix everything because your sin has now messed up, and then, you know, now your family's stressed and all the different things. And so I think that's a different response, and that's how we can respond the first time the right way is that active pursuit of the Lord. Yep. That changes everything.
So. But then you got Job's friends were blaming him or saying, you got to be doing something wrong. Right, I mean, then are you second guessing? Like, well, see. No, I mean, I can't think of nothing.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, who loses everything in one day, one after another? Come on, man. Had to do something. But yeah, that whole story is wild to me.
Very wild. I always am humbled, and we've talked about it before in group, like, you know, when finally God speaks to Job and he's like, get ready to answer me like a man.
Yeah, put on your big boy pants. Here we go.
Like that to me is always so humbling, because then he names all the things that he did in creation. He's like, surely you know these things because you were there at creation and all this other stuff. And
it's so funny because even in that, like when I read it, and like it is just like, I can see myself in it talking to my kids.
Yeah.
You bought the house?
Right.
Oh, you can make the decision?
wait, didn't we?
Where were you?
Jeff, were you and I talking to Mason about this very thing the other day when I was like, hey, yeah, you're welcome for me filling up your gas.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, well, I filled up your diesel. I said, well, who paid for it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, who reimbursed you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are not really good comparisons to Joe. But
right.
I just want to say this real quick to people listening, kind of get some context here. So me and Pat, we split out from Jeff from your group and Justin from y'all's group. We have a smaller group, but we're going through the same studies together as a group. We're going through an overview of the Bible and the books of the Old Testament. At the same time, we've started a daily devotion of going through the Bible more in detail.
In chronological
order. Yeah, chronological order. We're going through a book called Foundations. And this week's review, there was parts of it touched Job, if y'all remember, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I went through it. And you actually have it open. Mm-hmm. There was one day, maybe, I don't remember the day, but it was like Job 39 or 41 or something.
39.
Yeah. And so it's in that moment. We talked a little bit tonight. We're recapping some of our thoughts in that area for that one. I mentioned it. Is that the one where God says, hey, where were you when I laid the foundations of there? How do you know the depths of the...
I mean, 38 is where it starts, and it goes all the way through 41,
right,
where God's talking to Job.
So several of us made comments on different verses in there that really shows the power and just the creator of the entire universe, what we see and what we don't see. And my takeaway from that was that, how awesome is it that we now have direct access to that same God, the same one who laid the cornerstone, who set the earth at its perfect tilt, who created the sun at the perfect angle, the perfect distance to keep us warm and have daylight. You know, it's none of that is by accident. And we have direct access. Mm-hmm. Like, how much do we take that for granted? That we get to go directly to Him, whereas in the Old Testament, you know, they had to go through priests and prophets to hear and talk to God. We take that for I take it for granted, even though I'm telling you that I try not to take it for granted.
Well, like Jeff just mentioned a minute ago when he says he can hear it in himself. I mean, to your point in Job, I wrote down Job 40, verse 2, where God says, let the one who accuses answer. essentially after he just lays out all this stuff, he's like, where were you in this? You must have known this because surely you were there, and kind of being a little sarcastic, right. A whole sense of humor. And then when he says, let the one who accuses answer, I wrote down, like, how often am I that accuser of things, especially when I don't have control, when I don't feel like I have control over things?
Right.
How quick can my mind go to accusing? Well, if, you know, could have been this, or why this situation, why this event? And, you know, and that's where my mind immediately goes to Job, where it's like, every day to answer me like a man. Like, yeah. Luckily he's not saying that to me, but in my heart, he's like being very gentle. Yeah. And he's like, don't accuse me. Like, I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you.
Right.
My thoughts are higher than you can ever imagine. My ways are bigger, right? And so it's a very humbling thing to come back to and be like, man, that is why we should absolutely strive for that to be our first reaction, to bring things to him. And we know in our heart that when we're not trusting him in something, that it's like, man, we should immediately run and go, man, you know my feelings about this, and I'm bringing it to you. But even if it's not the first reaction, absolutely our second reaction, be like, yeah. Lord, man,
that's right,
bringing it to you.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is the quick reaction to what is right, whether we respond immediately wrong or not, to be like, I'm sorry. You know, like, just taking those thoughts captive, or those fears, those anxieties, all the things that just flood your mind, just like, I'm sorry, Lord. What is truth?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Are you a good father? Regardless of the answer,
yeah,
of the situation I'm in, the condition that's around me, are you good? Do you love me more than anybody else? Is your timing perfect? Yes.
No. And that's also why it's so important to memorize scripture.
Yeah.
Because you can then recall, and the Holy Spirit will help you recall those things.
Absolutely.
To reinforce those truths. And so this goes all back to our dedication to a relationship with God. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I find that when I'm in that walk, my reactions are better.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And you just said it earlier, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't lash out, or right. I, you know, it can probably even prevent the reason that I would lash out, because it's mm-hmm. probably me doing something that causes someone else to, yeah. you know, using yeah. my wife to get on you. So sure. It's probably all my fault anyway. So I'm even preventing myself from even getting in those situations, because yeah. I'm more thoughtful in my approach.
Right.
I want to bring up one thing real quick. So in your class, Justin, on Sunday, I didn't bring it up then, because I feel like I talk a lot in there. And
you do talk a lot, Tony.
Oh, my word. Quit chewing gum, Mike.
I do talk a lot. I do. And I try not, like, I don't want to be that one that always talks, but I always will be the one, like, if no one's talking, I'll try to break the ice.
Now just be the one that's getting to the point you want to share.
So you're talking about who the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah.
And I just, for some reason in my mind, I started thinking about how the Holy Spirit deals with me. And you said it a while ago, and it reminded me of this. It's that gentleness where, you know, like how Job, how God answered Job, he's not answering you in that same tone, but he's mm-hmm. like, hey man, look, I got you. Like, why do you think, I mean, mm-hmm. I did all this, I can do it for you.
Yep.
He's gentle to us, right? So that reminded mm-hmm. me of the story. Remember me telling you about my dog, Gracie, when she went to training?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like I started visualizing the Holy Spirit being that shock collar. So everywhere we go, that shock collar is on the dog. And depending on that dog's demeanor, mm-hmm. the reaction, you know, that shock collar is to control that dog from a distance. So the thing is never give a dog a command you can't reinforce. And that's what the shock collar does. And so my dog, Gracie, the golden retriever, when I met with the dog trainer, he said, man, she is so timid. Like, not timid in the way like she's scared of them, but I do not have to give her hard correction at all. I don't want to break her spirit, because she takes immediate correction. Like, she takes the softest correction. She takes right. it
yeah.
and adjusts. So he's like, he's teaching me how to teach her. Mm-hmm. He's like, never use the shock on her, because these collars also have a sound
right.
and a little vibration. He says, that's all she needs. I don't want you to break her spirit. If she's not doing something you're asking, do the vibrate or do the sound, she'll check up. And he showed me examples of that. Yeah. And I started thinking the Holy Spirit is like that for me, because I feel like I'm that way. Like, I, you know, the Lord knows I may be really fragile in some areas. I'm growing. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's strengthening, you know, I shouldn't say maybe. He's strengthening me. Right. But all the while, he knows the sensitivity that I can tolerate. Mm-hmm. And he's so gracious and loving and kind, not to, you know, beat us down, mm-hmm. but to correct us with the appropriate amount of pressure, the appropriate amount of you know, correction, where he's not buzzing me on the yeah. 10. He's hitting me with the little beep and the little vibration because yeah. I feel it more and more, like, oh. Right.
Yeah. So, Christine, if you're listening, sounds like you could buy a shot collar and we could put one on Tommy.
We'll start it on 10.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some funny yeah. stories from some guys at Hunt Clubs that would put one on.
Yeah.
They try to take it off and you buzz it. They can't get it. Oh, it's so funny.
Well, I think, too, for folks listening, I mean, that's the thing, because in that situation, what will happen, too, is when we don't maybe want to bring things, I think that's where shame and guilt and our mind and our thoughts will get the best of us. Because yeah. after certain points, like, man, like, I haven't brought it to him, or I keep making, or I've made this decision, or I've tried to control the situation, and maybe now it's gotten out of a hand. And then it's just kind of those lies of, you know, well, now we feel ashamed. And so we just sit there.
And that's the enemy a lot of times. Oh, it absolutely is. Using that. Yeah. And then I would say, though, the maybe the, you know, just the humility we feel. Is that the right word? Like, if I'm so, I feel so disgusted in my own sin.
Humiliated.
Humiliated yeah. in the presence of God mm-hmm. and like how holy he is. And the humiliation that we start to feel in our own sin, that's the Holy Spirit revealing those things to us. Like, hey, or you know, God in us, he can't dwell in a sinful, you know, that's oil and water. It yeah. doesn't mix.
Yeah, I think the enemy wants to sit there and say, hey, you can't bring that.
Well, he, right.
Because you're going to, can you imagine what people are going to think?
Well, he wants
can you imagine
he,
this? Can you imagine that?
And he wants
that?
You to keep yeah. you also in that being so...
ashamed.
Yes.
Yeah.
To where
you say the word and I'll pick the antonym. Yes, yeah.
That's right. You keep beating yourself up about it. So now you can't even allow God's forgiveness yeah. really, because now you're blocking mm-hmm. the freedom that comes with the forgiveness
yep.
that he gives us.
Yep.
And I'm not saying habitual sin. You know, there's a lot of different ways that caveats that could go that I don't you yeah. know, but I'm saying like a true believer who's really, but has sinned, like I've done it and I felt so bad for it, about that. And then I found myself dwelling on it long mm-hmm. time. Like, why can't I allow the Lord? Like, I'm not continuing in the sin, but why can't, I mean, I just feel so bad, Lord, you know, it's just, and almost that can take away from your relationship with the Lord.
Well, the enemy can use all of that because yeah. I mean, he can say in the moment, like, see, you're right back doing it again. Why don't you even try? You know, just kind of throw the white flag up and just stay in that. And so there is that temptation as well. But, you know, kind of looking at, you know, how do we move forward in such a way? Because we talked about tonight in regards to perhaps a sin struggle that you have, Tommy, that I don't. It's easier for me to judge that, condemn that.
Because you can't relate to it.
Because I can't relate to it and be a little more graceful and, you know, everything with my stuff. Or if Justin has the same struggles as I do, like, oh, dude, we'll get through this, you know, kind of thing. But Tommy, you know, we can do it like that. But here's what happens is we go, and this is very common, like, who am I to judge? So we don't confront sin. We don't deal with sin. But a true discipleship relationship is like, hey, bro, I see this in you. And if you see anything in me, please point it out, mm-hmm. right? We've got to be humble enough to let that come back on us, man. I'm asking the Lord to search it. I know it's easier for me to see your sin. So it's got to be easier for you to see my stuff. Mm-hmm. So call that out at me. Well, if you love me, don't let me settle in that, stay in that, you know?
And gently, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, to that point, because it's going to be easy to throw out observations and all that stuff, but that's where the relationships are so huge. And
right.
to the point you're making, right? Not only these earthly relationships with close people that you're saying, hey, I invite you to speak truth into my life.
Right.
Or when you see something, right, we're doing that on the basis of there being a loving relationship.
Right.
So then how much more if we have a relationship with the Father and the Creator who is our friend, should we acknowledge those nudges and acknowledge that he is gentle and we should be inviting him in and be like, hey, Justin, I want to take this thing and I want to reveal it to you gently. And I want to do it in such a way that you recognize it. And now, hey, I want to do a work in that. Yeah. And so,
and it does, it goes with what Tommy was mentioning earlier, which I was going to ream him about a terrible example, but it turned out to be really good about the dog.
Yeah.
You know, there are everybody's different. Right.
Yeah.
And some people need that shock. Mm-hmm. And some people just need that gentle reminder. And it's learning those people in your life and how to, you know, whether that's your own family, your kids are all different, all the different things, but also the guys in the group, everybody responds a little bit differently. So finding the best way to communicate that, hey, because I love you, let's talk about this. Right. And so in the same way, man, I welcome it. If you love me, you better speak into my life, especially if you see something that I don't see, you know. And so I think that's where all those things kind of come in. You guys have anything?
Yeah. I mean, we're already over time, so you don't have to look, but it doesn't matter. People like to listen. a couple things. Why are we, I'm going to ask both you guys this, and I think you will know where I stand on it. We've talked about it. Why are we too ashamed to tell each other our deep sin? Like, hey, Jeff, I just need to let you know I'm struggling with X. Or Justin, man, I've been doing this. And it seems like, you know, the three of us may have the comfort to do that, but it hadn't always been that way. But most people don't. You were talking about, hey, I see this in you. But the flip side is, if you've got a group of people that you're, you know, discipling or you're going through doing discipleship with, you know, at some point, like, you need to bring these things up and let people in if you want to get to help.
Well, I think the reason to answer your question is why we don't talk about it is because we feel like the shame or whatever that comes with that, I'm the only one wrestling with this. And if I tell another dude what I'm struggling with, then what's going to come with that? Is it going to be jokes? Is it going to be,
Embarrassment too?
Shame. Are they going to tell somebody else? Does it stay confidential? You know what? Let me just keep it to myself and I'll just keep working on it. And hopefully I'll get there one day.
Yeah.
All the while you waste years of freedom, you know, so you got to humble yourself before, but you do have to have people that you can trust with that information. Yeah.
I go back to relationships again, because I mean, Tommy, think about it. You said we've gotten to the point now where we're able to talk about things, but like, you know, first year we meet each other, right?
No.
Are you going to feel comfortable telling me things that are on your mind and your heart and that you're struggling with or that are weighing on you? Absolutely not, because of all the things Jeff just mentioned as a reason.
But let's even say, okay, a pastor, let's just say there's something you're struggling with. You're right.
And it doesn't have to be like heavy and weighty either. It can even be basic. Like, even start small. Like, don't even go to the farther end of the spectrum where it's like, man, how do we not share these deep, heavy things? It's like, man, sometimes just like, man, I struggle to do this. Or, hey, like, I don't feel like I'm the best dad right now. You know, or whatever it is that just weigh on your mind. We don't do it often. And a lot of that's because there's not those trusted relationships that are established on, like, hey, I feel like we can share in this. And I would say what's also critical is those relationships that you're not going to have people that just give you their opinion, but will point you back to the Word and what God says and is instructing. That is critical.
Well, it's important to seek wise counsel.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll just say this. Part of this, though, is I want to kind of break through some of this surface level stuff to say that, is it that we're too comfortable, or because we don't physically see God, that we feel a little bit, is it easier for us to go into the bedroom, into the bathroom closet, shut the door, and in the darkness kind of whisper to him very quietly, hey, Lord, forgive me for this, whatever this is. I'm sorry. But I'm too ashamed to tell you, Jeff.
Right.
that weird? Because I'm not as ashamed to tell the one who died for me,
right,
who created the universe, sent his son, died for me, suffered for me, so that I would have salvation. And here I am. Am I not? I mean, but I'm too ashamed to tell you, Jeff, who did nothing
right
for me,
right,
spiritually. You know,
I think it varies, man. I think you can find somebody that's just like that. I think you can find somebody that doesn't want to tell the Lord or the person.
Well, yeah.
Or you can find somebody that wants to tell just the Lord, not the person, or vice versa. And I think it all comes back to what Jeff mentioned earlier. It's humbling your heart.
Right.
Because if you humble your heart, and then you're also living in a biblical way where you're hopefully in a relationship with people that are rooted in the Word, are going to point to the Word, like over time, that is going to grow. And we always talk about it. It's kind of like your marriage, right? Yeah. You don't talk to your spouse. Well, guess what? You're not going to be in good communication.
Right.
You're not going to have a healthy marriage. But if you talk to your spouse and you learn one another, and like Jeff, you shared, right? If Erin comes out and gives like kind of her perspective on maybe she sees these things as concerns, well, your first reaction isn't to respond.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? It's like, hey, gives her time. Like you're learning that in your wife because you have a relationship and you're talking. And so that's where I think it's different, man. I don't think it's a catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. I was just looking through my receipts, i.e. my text messages between us.
Oh, I thought you found how much you paid for the gee.
That's where my mind went as well.
It's like, how much?
So that had to, hang on, that had to easily be like a $1,000 gee.
I don't think so. No, I don't think it was that
over much. $500.
I don't think it was that much. It was like $3.
Now I got to Google it. Proceed.
Google it while I'm checking my other receipts. And what I mean by receipts is I keep receipts. You ever heard that saying? Oh, you keeping receipts. So we were talking about planking an eye. I think, didn't somebody say a plank in the eye, maybe? Well, that's kind of what we were talking about, though. Remember, Justin gets a little defensive, though, when we go to him about something about the podcast.
Uh-huh.
He tells me to remove the plank in my eye when I tell him, you know, hey, when are you going to load the next episode? Mm-hmm. Well, when are you going to take that plank out of your eye?
Yep.
So,
there you go. I
thought that was pretty funny.
Well,
hey, did we get another email?
Maybe.
I don't have a way to check. It's
well, as we wrap up this episode.
The gee. To which brand? Because it was a name brand.
Oh, bro.
The Louis Vuitton gee was how much?
There's the Nano Pearl.
No.
That's the black one. That's 200. There's the Rift 2.0 Raptor. You bought the Raptor.
That was might have been.
You bought the Raptor. I could see it on your
face.
Does
it have white? Does it have like lettering on it? Like logos and stuff?
Yeah. Easy 350.
Yeah, that was probably it.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
The Raptor. I'm going to start calling you that.
But I read reviews, though. It was like good reviews. I mean, I'll research something to the nth degree.
Yeah, you will.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm going to start, man.
If y'all need something, let me know. I'll spend y'all's money, too.
I'm going to start calling you the Raptor, and then I'm going to sneak up behind you and just start doing random moves, see what happens.
Well, I only took 3 days. Like, it was only like three lessons.
That's more than I took. That's more than I took.
I did get choked by Horace Gracie. Y'all know who Horace Gracie is? Mm-hmm. He's from the Gracie family.
Yeah.
So long time ago when I was a police officer, they had a ground fighting class, and he actually led the class and came in one of the demonstrations. I volunteered. So
yeah.
Were you hoping I took three classes. I got you.
Yeah. Well, no, that was...
Were you hoping you got a cauliflower ear by
Well,
him?
No, I mean, I've not washed my neck since.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
I mean,
he's like royalty in
jiu-jitsu.
That's
why it's tan. Dirt. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, goodness.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, listen, just encourage you once again, find some relationships with people that love the Lord or pursuing them, and start a discipleship relationship. It's amazing.